Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. And for my returning guest, welcome back. D&D 360 is where we talk all about Dungeons & Dragons and its many editions from the past, present, and future, including third-party content and as well as other role-playing games. I'm your host, Terrell Shaw, and I'll be your guide through your journey this session. Welcome to this special edition of D&D 360 podcast. Thanks for joining me on this sort of holiday weekend or time. I know you guys all have other places to be. I'm glad you're joining in, at least for this session. This session is all about what's in store for D&D in the future. I am relating to a weekend celebration. It was called D&D Celebration back in September. And they discussed a few things regarding D&D in the future, some relatively sooner than others. So one of the things that they were talking about was that there would be several classic D&D settings revisited next year. That's in 2022. So if you remember back in session one, that I went over some of the classic D&D settings that was either current or some that has been, I don't want to say out of print, but some that have been out of favor since 5e has debuted back in 2014. So it gives us ponder. It gives us ponder on which D&D settings they are looking to revisit next year. So they said two will be published next year, 2022, in formats that are different than usual. I don't know exactly what that could mean. Is it books? Is it, if it's books, then that would be the regular, right? So it sounds like that these two settings won't be published in regular book format. Maybe it's how they're published in book format, maybe like in a sort of adventure slash settings book, almost like they did with Ravenloft. And in fact, they called that one of the three classic D&D settings that they revisited early, I guess, it was Ravenloft early this year. I've yet to do a overview or review on Ravenloft, but it was called Ravenloft Domains of Dread. It's Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, and it's basically covering the different domains of dread in the Ravenloft setting. Maybe I'll do a revision of it or overview of it. It's been out. It's been out for quite some time, and I'm sure you look around on that. There's either YouTube videos or other podcasts that have reviewed it extensively by now. So I don't really want to rehash something that's almost a year old. I think it came out back in January, February, sometime, maybe even March of 2021. So you can look for it, or I'll do an overview of it. That goes deeper than what I've already said about it. But the two other ones, which will be coming out next year, I wonder what formats are they talking about? So as Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, it was sort of a settings book slash mini adventures. And the mini adventures dealt with each domain of dread. So I'm wondering, will they do something like that? Which is kind of different. It's sort of like an anthology in a sense. An anthology meaning there were not a single stream of adventures, but it was each one was set in that particular domain of dread. So I'm wondering if they'll do something like that, let's say. But I have two guesses on what those two settings could be. One, I'm 90% positive that it is Dragonlance. One of those settings almost has to be Dragonlance. Why do I say that? It's because earlier last year, in 2020, if I remember correctly, or earlier 2021, my memory is fuzzy, there was a legal action between the creators of the Dragonlance setting, which was Tracy Hickman and I believe his also his wife, Laura Hickman. And they were, or I could be mistaken, and not necessarily the Dragonlance setting or the books. So it was definitely Tracy Hickman and his partner, I forgot her name at the moment, who created the who wrote the books on Dragonlance. And I believe they were having some kind of dispute with Wizards of the Coast to that they reneged on some kind of legal responsibility of either publishing the books or whatnot, and they took them to court. Subsequently, the case was settled out of court, but that gives us, at least it gives me a clue that Dragonlance was definitely discussed. It got to a certain point of getting at least the books published. I would think that, at least the way that Wizards of the Coast like to do things is that if they hadn't got into that and they hadn't sort of exploded onto the scene, that they would have announced new Dragonlance books and a new Dragonlance setting at the same time next year. So I think since they had to settle out of court, that one side was sort of the cat was out the bag. But yeah, I think Dragonlance is definitely one of the other set, one of the new settings coming out next year in 2022. Now, the other setting, I think, and it might be unpopular, I think most people think it's going to be a Spelljammer. I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be Planescape. Yeah, Planescape. Planescape is another setting that was back in the 90s that basically Planescape, if you remember, again, I think it was still on my on my settings podcast, that it was basically a setting that dealt with traveling between planes, the realms of thought, the realms, alternate realities, or alternate planes of existences, exactly. Why do I think it's Planescape? Well, because they've given us a lot of monsters. They've given us sort of adventures going to different planes of existence. One was Descent into Avernus. Another one was Ravenloft. And then we get into the Feywild that just came out earlier this year. Well, just maybe like a month ago, 2 months ago. The reason being is they have a lot of information on planes right now versus different settings, which Spelljammer would be primarily of. Just to reiterate, Spelljammer deals with traveling between crystal spheres, which are analogous to campaign settings in the D&D universe, whereas Planescape deals with traveling between different spheres or realms of reality. And right now, if you look at what's out in D&D settings, what's official, it's really only a handful. And they're not like sort of the classic versions of the D&D multiverse. Most of them deal with, well, we have Eberron, And then we have Ravenloft, which was just released recently. Sort of, kind of. I mean, we had an adventure in it, but this is the one where we had the sort of the settings book, if you will. Then we have Ravnica, which is a Magic the Gathering plane or setting, which again is one, but it's not a classic D&D setting. So I don't believe that's, you know, that it's sort of combined with that. Then we have what else do we have out? I think that's it, really. So we really only have a couple of settings, and then Forgotten Realms is the default setting. So really, I only have Eberron, Ravenloft, and World Magic the Gathering settings, really, that have come out. And alternatively, if you want to add in settings for Exandria, which is a Critical Role stuff, you can add that as well. That's really it. So that's why I don't think it's Spelljammer. If they introduce Spelljammer right now, like next year, there's really not too many places you'll be able to go. That's familiar. I mean, you can still go to those places, but they haven't really defined, you know, which, you know, if you can get to these. Eberron, I know, is historically was closed off. It was a closed off crystal sphere that had no connection to or no direct connection in the D&D multiverse back in the 3.5 days. They might have turned that around. They might have, you know, there's different ways of getting there. It's just not so direct as spell jamming there. So that's why I don't believe it's Spelljammer. Planescape makes much more sense. You have tons of planar monsters that don't exist on the material plane, which would be the Forgotten Realms Toril plane or country or planet, I should say. Then you would have these monsters that come from different planes of existence, which is like the Shadowfell, the Feywild, Avernus, which is part of the Nine Hells. You have demons, which mostly come from the Abyss, which is another plane of existence. You also have different species that come from the astral plane and plane of limbo. So you have a lot more content already built in that you can pull from and create stories and create games around, and then bridging that all together using Planescape than you can with Spelljammer. So that's the reason why I think it's going to be Planescape and Dragonlance. Now, they also said that there is a hint, that there will be a hint of one other setting that will come out in 2022. Well, the hint will be in 2022. They kind of hinted that this might be a scary place, which I don't know, because they're saying that there will be a preview for it, but they also said later on in this sort of D&D celebration that there will also be another setting published in 2023. Now, are they the same? That is this preview sort of setting that they will have next year, is that going to be the same one that they're going to be published in 2023? I'm not sure. They didn't make a direct correlation. But they believe that the one that's in that might be published might be scary. Now, that gives me pause, because I'm thinking to myself, other than Lower Plains area, which are basically still under the sort of, to get to travel to them would be a sort of a Planescape sort of setting thing, mechanics regarding how to do that. It would be Shadowfell, I would think. And why? Because the Shadowfell is a plane of existence that deals with darkness, twilight, death, negative energy. Scary things lurk in the Shadowfell. If you listen to my previous podcast, which I did a review or overview, I should say, of my current or one of my current campaigns, my group in that campaign actually visited the Shadowfell in their act, in the later act two, I believe, in traversing the Shadowfell and all that entailed. If you missed that, give it a listen. It's pretty good. It's just sort of an overview of one of my campaigns. I probably would do more on my other two games that I have based in the Cobalt Press Midgard campaign setting. Back to this. I don't know if it's going to be Shadowfell, but I think it will. And again, it goes back to them setting up the Planescape setting before it comes out. So there are rules already in place in order to get there and transverse there and whatnot. So this is my thinking. It's sort of, I'm trying to think of a logical progression of them releasing things. They also said there would be, that they're working on currently the 50-year anniversary of D&D, which is in 2024. Can you guys believe that? 50 years in about 2 years. That there would be another or a new version of the core rule books, right? So it's going to be a new version. Now, what does that mean? Is this going to be 5.5? Is this going to be 6? I give you my stance on it. I believe it's going to be 5.5, almost like what they did with 3.5. It's definitely longer than it took to get out a new version than they did with 3.5. But I think that's for different reasons. I think they did a slow burn on 5e, where instead of trying to give you everything all at once and overwhelming you, which I think a lot of people clamored for, and subsequently, you know, give Wizards of the Coast heat for smoke, I should say. I like the way they did it. I wasn't around for 3.5 as far as playing games and whatnot, but looking back at the archives and looking back at the sheer amount of books that when I was getting into D&D and looking at what edition I wanted to start with, 3.5 definitely made me shy away from, just by the sheer amount of books and what you had to do to get on board and to kind of get up to speed. Now, you could say, hey, all you need to do is just jump right in and, you know, you'll eventually swim to the top. As a first-time D&D, first-time Dungeon Master, that's not how I wanted to do it. I wanted to at least get some foothold, some foundation of knowing what I'm talking about when I build my my games. Sure, you can go in half-ass it, you can go in not knowing anything and just create this stuff and then kind of fix it later. Sure, because really it's all about just getting in and getting started, right? As long as you're having fun, you know, that works. I personally don't want that. I want more. If I had a dungeon master that I knew was just pulling stuff out of his ass, that would turn me off. That would turn me off completely. So at least I had some kind of foundation I could start with and start making up my stuff, if you will. That to me, that would be more comfortable. So with going back to the anniversary, 5.5? I think so. I think it could be 5.5. I don't think it's 6. I think they have a lot of stuff that they could do for 6. I don't think they have enough to really justify a complete version update, because a lot of stuff was more a lot of things that they've come up until now have been maybe rule corrections, more rule wordings, a lot of stuff that they want to sort of take out from 5.5, dealing with particular creatures being either default evil morally evil or whatnot, and the descriptions of those things. I think all that, even up until now, doesn't really warrant a, don't really warrant a sixth edition. 5.5, I think it would be. So that's my take on that. I think in 2024, when they do a new version of the core rule books, I think it would be titled 5.5, or let's say Essentials, or something. I think Essentials. I think it would be Essentials. Yeah, I think it might be Essentials. I think it'd be 5e Essentials. Just like they came up with the second version of the standard, a second version of the of the beginners sort of onboarding set. I think it would be, I think it's that was called like the starter set. I believe that's what they're going to call Essentials. Just my guess. I think it's going to be called 5e Essentials. All right. Then they talked about adventure anthologies. Now, they're going to be coming out with more, instead of the one big book of one long journey of a adventure, such as, let's see, one like Descent into Avernus, or the version of Horde of the Dragon Queen and that particular adventure. Those type of adventures, I think they're going to be changing, doing more adventure anthologies. And the way I look at the adventure anthologies, you look at like the Candlekeep sort of adventures, or you can even look at the versions of when it went to it was more based around the traveling on the sea. Once I forget the title of that one as well, I think that was called what was that called? I don't have that written down right now. I actually have the book. It's put up somewhere. But it's basically, that was sort of an anthology in the sense that it was a bunch of adventures loosely based around a particular theme. And I think you could tie them all together. There was a way. It took some work from the DM. But yeah, you could do that as well. So I think they're going to be doing more of those come in the coming future. I think people, instead of having one big long adventure, they start to whittle them down and make them more viable for either short groups or people who want to start and stop, or get what you want from it. Get an adventure you want to tie, maybe three of them together, and then from there you can do your own stuff or whatever. I think it's flexible for a lot of people nowadays. Me personally, it doesn't really matter. I don't get too much from the anthologies, even from the ones that they have, other than taking them, picking them up and putting them in my own campaign. But if I wanted to run it from the book, I would rather have something just single, you know, like the ones that they had before. Let's see, what else did they talk about? They also talking about that two all new settings to be introduced, never before seen before. Now, what does that mean? That means that they are exploring and basically in development two new all settings that we have not seen in D&D before. That could mean back to sort of Critical Role type of setting book, because technically the Critical Role books are canon now. They are part of the D&D multiverse. So I think maybe one of them could be part of that. Another one could be another setting that they're exploring that I couldn't even possibly think about on what could be in D&D, based off of the previous stuff. If it was something previously, it wouldn't need to be, you know, it wouldn't be called all new or in development. So I think these are probably something that we've never even heard about, and one could possibly be part of the Critical Role universe. So it could be their third book in the Critical Role sort of arsenal. I think they have one adventure next year coming out in the Critical Role universe. But I don't believe that's a settings book. Let's see. There's also an alt cover of some secret mysterious book that they have in coming out in 2022. They described it as with Boo, if you're familiar with Boo and Minsk. They have a book recently that came out. Minsk is a large, I think they call him a giant mini space hamster. I think that's his proper description. And he is on the cover. Now, this cover was sort of a sketch that it had him in the center with nine circles, like in an arch around his head. Not sure what that means. I'm sure it might be someone that gets the hint or the description of what the nine circles around his head is. They were like in an archway, almost like a halo, like a half halo, but there were nine circles. So I don't know what that means. I could do some research on, but I don't know what that means off the top of my head. So that's going to be an alt cover book that's coming out next year. And then finally, there is the Rules Expansion gift set that's coming out in January. I think it's on sale in January 25th or January 27th, which people could pre-order now. Now, these Rules Expansion gift set is going to be covered. It's going to be updating Xanathar's Guide to Everything, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, and there's a new book that is called Mordenkainen's Presents Monsters of the Multiverse. And this is another hint to why I believe the second of the two books next year is going to be Planescape. And what this book entails, it's a new book. All of these are going to have sort of the slip covers, alternate covers on them and whatnot. But the Mordenkainen Presents Monsters of Universe is basically a one-stop shop, as Jeremy Crawford puts it, of pulling in monsters from a bunch of different books all in one book. So it's not just sort of the monster manual, but it's a monster book of different monsters across all of their books they have, which includes monsters that come from the different planes as well, such as the Sentinel of Avernus, such as the Domains of Dread, such as Ravenloft. Ravenloft, Domains of Dread, and possibly Eberron. So there you have it. That is what we have to look forward to in 2022 and beyond from D&D. A lot to digest, a lot to think on, but hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, reach out to me. If you guys like to support me, you can support to the button on the podcast description and or listen to some of my ads that's on here. And I will talk to you and see you on the next podcast. Later. So, in wrapping up, I want to thank you all for joining me for another adventure, and I look forward to greeting you again soon. I want to send out a special thanks to Michael Gelfi and his music. You can find Michael Gelfi's music on YouTube at Michael Gelfi, or at his Patreon over at patreon.com/ Michael Gelfi. That's spelled G-H-E-L-F-I. You can also find me on Twitter at DND360. That's DND360. Or send me an email at 360DND@gmail.com. This has been Terrell Shaw for the DND360 podcast. Signing off.